providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. Time for the second half of the KE Report, KER Politics. We're going to devote this entire half of the program, which is almost, got quite a bit of time, almost 40, 45 minutes, to Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg came out this week. It was pretty well determined that he had been fanning the fire of discontent in the country by actually posting information that would get him a fair amount of clicks on Facebook, make people very, very angry, and it oftentimes wasn't even true. Jimmy, you want to start out talking about this, and then I'll jump in.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's happened with Mark Zuckerberg and using paid fact checkers by actually trying to manipulate information, and of course his involvement in the 2020 election through his Center for Civic. There's a lot of issues that are facing him right now, and of course in the courts he's being sued by John Stossel, a libertarian who's a Fox News contributor, and in those court filings he's actually, their staff are having to admit that their fact checkers are actually just providing opinions, but they're silencing people and not allowing people to have a fair and equal hearing. And a lot of accusations of actually progressives want to silence him because he does allow, in some cases, some other alternative views. And of course, you know, a lot of them are restricted, a lot of them are shadow banned. But it's quite an interesting event and how much influence and what he's facing right now. And I think this can't last too long for him.
Well, what I think is interesting is his employees are saying that the algorithms which they use, having a little trouble talking this morning, that the algorithms which they use are basically pushing more and more information into the Facebook notebook, for lack of better terms, that is simply made to amplify anger, amplify extremism, and amplify misinformation. How can somebody with the power of Facebook, who runs Facebook, like Mike Zuckerberg, actually do that? He is fanning the flames of incredible anger in America, and that's causing, it's causing violence, it's causing death, etc., etc. And this idiot doesn't seem to care. I don't get it, Jimmy.
No, during the week's editorials, we talked a little bit about the experimentation during the Arab Spring between, you know, 2011 to 2013, that basically destroyed all civility in northern Africa, in Arab states across the region. Now, as you know, we mentioned previously, those states were controlled by, usually by monarchs or strongmen. And there was this idea with the Obama administration and, of course, with these Facebook and social media outlets that they could actually shift and adjust perceptions.
Yep.
And create conditions that would actually favor more democratic values. Well, what we found was it actually destroyed most of those countries and was very inconsistent and allowed extremism to take charge in many of those countries. Egypt is a prime example, where the Muslim Brotherhood, a known terrorist organization, actually took power. And of course, it happened all across and Africa and the Mediterranean, and created the conditions in Syria that caused the civil war there. And those killed literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And basically, getting back to Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook was the primary way to motivate and yep. incentivize people and to communicate and to coordinate efforts in order to create those conditions. Nobody likes authoritarianism. I certainly don't. But what he did is it basically was an experimentation of how he can influence outcomes in elections and in organizations. And of course, what we're seeing now is him using the same types of tactics and influences to create an ideological utopia that he believes, from his very limited life experience, is best for America and the world. And he has way too much influence and way too much power and money, and certainly apparently an objective to use those tools to an advantage that is both financially beneficial to him as well as politically and ideologically beneficial to him.
Well, Jimmy, I have to tell you, you and I have been involved with the internet now for going on, I don't know, what's it been, 5, 7 to 10 years or thereabouts. The internet scares the daylights out of me because of the power that it has. You know, back when I was a kid growing up, that power was somewhat exemplified by long distance calling, by the network news, etc., etc. But the power has gotten so large, it's now affecting all the countries throughout the world. Zuckerberg's violence, I don't want to use the word violence because he's not necessarily being violent, but what he is doing is he is putting information out there on his news feeds that are making people angry, emotionally, I would have to say almost unstable, and causing those people to act in irrational manners in instances around the country, like, for example, what happened in America in Wisconsin.
Well, and he's limiting, he's censoring and limiting speech in some, in many areas for opinions that he or his staff or his algorithms have been designed to identify as against his particular ideologies. And what that means, and we've seen this numerous times, thousands, basically tens of thousands of examples of him doing that. And with that, he inflames. I mean, what happened with the George Floyd riots?
Yeah.
You know, those went on for, I mean, months, and a lot of the coordination of the efforts was actually controlled through Facebook. Yet what do we hear from the left, and what do we hear from the progressives in their anger at Facebook? It's not about all that coordination. It's about the coordination for January 6th and the people that were actually protesting the outcome of the elections and looking for, you know, fraud and trying to, you know, wonder what the heck had happened. And of course, he's directly involved. Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and Priscilla Chan, his partner, they are directly involved in influencing elections as well, with $419 million that he spent laundering through the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTLCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research. These organizations actually were very specifically geared to counties that were targetable to change the outcomes of the elections. They used a tremendous amount of both pressure and influence to use COVID and other ways to protect or to allow mail-in voting, to do vote harvesting, to energize people. And a lot of people say, well, that's the way you want to do it. You want to get people more out there. But they were geared towards an ideological purpose. Nothing else. And that is very dangerous that an individual has that much influence and that much power over an electoral system in a republic.
Well, what I think is interesting in the article that was in the Week magazine, and this is a direct quote, this is almost something, in my opinion, that Zuckerberg ought to be thrown in jail for. Quote, the documents showed that Facebook intentionally amplified divisive contact in its news feed, promoting posts that provoked clicks on the angry. It strikes me, and I would support 100% if the government just simply shut Facebook down at this moment in time. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm not so much interested in the government shutting anything down, but I am interested in accountability for those that silence other voices and opinions.
Right.
And I think there should be some accountability for the violence and the anger and the frustration. Look, the two biggest motivators for the three most motivators, I'll say, for you know, human beings, one are hate, two are anger, and three are love.
When Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a real quick commercial break. We're going to be right back here in about 30 seconds.